If you got your Bible, we want to go to John chapter number 8. We've got a video that we may play here in a few minutes at the end. But I want to talk for just a few minutes tonight about being, again, this is kind of goes with some of the things that I've been doing on Wednesday night. Past two Wednesday nights, I've talked about being radically changed. And I mentioned in Celebrate Recovery several weeks ago that the Bible is full of stories where people are radically changed when they come in contact with Jesus Christ. And in John chapter number 8, there's a story of a woman who is radically changed, and she's radically changed by forgiveness. Now, we're living in a time today to where it seems like that people are becoming increasingly bold in that they don't feel like they need forgiveness because they don't feel like they've done anything wrong. But I also feel like there is a portion or an element, or there are people who recognize that they need forgiveness, and I've even talked to some that say, well, I'm not sure that I could be forgiven or that God would love me, but you can. I heard a story one time, and you know, it was mentioned today about Brother Durham accepting Christ. That's such a great victory. But I heard a story about a man who was in the hospital, and he too had cancer, and this is a true story. And he was rough. He was so rough, and you know, just like most folks, he had somebody that loved him and prayed for him and cared about him, and they asked that the preacher that I know would go and pray with him. And the preacher said, you know, I went and I talked to him, and I said his name was Eddie. He said, Eddie, don't you want to be saved? You know what the doctors say? The doctors say that you're probably not going to be here too much longer. And he was, no, no, no. And time went on, and then he got worse, and the sister called and asked for the preacher to come, and he come back and try it again. Don't you know that you need God? Don't you want to be saved? No, no, too hard. Hard heart. But time went on just a few days later or a week later, and the preacher got a call. And she said, preacher, I really think you need to come back. He said, I've already talked to him twice, and he just doesn't see that he needs to be forgiven or that he needs to be saved. She said, but you don't understand, something's changed. And this change is what we need to pray for, okay? Now, I've mentioned before, when I've been asked to go see somebody that's in trouble, you please pray. Because it does me no good to go if the Holy Spirit hadn't already gone before me. But she said, no, you need to come. Something's different. Something's different. And he said, all right, I'll come back. He said he went into the room there with Eddie, and he said, Eddie, would you like to be saved? And Eddie just turned his head, and he said, I just don't think God has saved me. Do you know the preacher got excited? He said, we might have a candidate here. This is a person, when you begin to realize that you need forgiveness, you can find forgiveness. You just need to get in the presence of the Savior and let Him move and do what only He can do in your life. And he went on and told the story. He said, I just don't think God will save me. He said, oh, yes, He will. Oh, yes, He will. Because God loves you, and that's what this story is about. Okay, now, when we look into the Word of God, and I've got a couple of different places that I want to read. First of all, I want you to understand that Jesus knows. The Bible tells us that the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. So when Jesus begins to speak about anything in Scripture, He understands it. After all, holy men of old were moved upon by the Holy Spirit, and they penned these words down. Well, we find it here in John chapter number 8, where Jesus says in the first verse, went into the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again to the temple, and all the people came to him and sat down, and he taught them. But there were some scribes and some Pharisees. Self-righteous, religious people that thought they knew who God was, that came to Jesus And they came for nothing more than to tempt him. Look what it says in the third verse. It says, and the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, mocking. Not because they reverenced him. This woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground, and they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And she said, No man, Lord. But here's something I want you to see again now. That word Lord. Remember when we talked about the demoniac? He said, Lord. When we talked about the leper, he said, Lord. This woman is at the feet of Jesus, and she says, No man, Lord. It says, And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Now here's three things that I want you to see. I want you to see the sin. I want you to see the shame. And I want you to see the Savior. Now if you look at verse number 4, they brought this woman to Jesus. And they said, We found this woman taken in adultery and in the very act. Now they thought that they wanted to find some way that they could accuse Jesus, that they might catch him in something to where they could bring accusation against him. But they didn't realize who that they were dealing with. If you go over to the 5th chapter of Matthew, and this actually occurred 1 year before this woman was cast at Jesus' feet. Jesus is teaching on the mount, and he is teaching, and he's got the Beatitudes, and he goes on down, and in the 17th verse, he begins to talk about the law. This is what he said. He said, Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I'm not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass away, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. And here's what that means. Not one dotting of the I or one crossing of the T. He said not even the littlest fragment of the law is going to be done away. Now when you hear that, that's condemning. That's condemning because if you understand what the law says if you're guilty, there's a penalty. And Jesus goes on in this scripture several different places and times to not only begin to show them how severe the law was, but to tell them what it really means. And in this scripture, if you go down to the 27th verse, he speaks on the subject exactly as what happened when the woman is cast at his feet. And this is what he said. He said, Ye have heard that it was said by them of old, Thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Now here's what I think that is actually happening in the 5th chapter of Matthew. When you read it and you read what it says hate is equal to murder. And there's so many different things, and you go through each one of them, it says, you've heard it said. And then he says, you've heard it said, and he begins to talk about adultery. When they threw this woman down at his feet, he already knew everything that there was to know about her. But he also knew everything that there was to know about them. And he knew everything that was going on in their hearts and in their minds. After all, this is God. And as he looks at them, and I want you to understand this sin, she's guilty. They said, we caught her in the very act. Now, you know, this is one of those, actually, passages of Scripture that makes me uncomfortable to preach about. It just does. You know, we're living in a time today, and in some churches, you start talking about homosexuality, and they'll amen you right out of the pulpit. I mean, you'll have deacons wanting to preach. But when you start talking about things that get where people live, they get quiet. But you know, in the eyesight of God, this is just as much a sin as homosexuality. But we don't want to get with that a lot of times. We want to, just kind of like this. I heard a preacher saying, he said, I was walking with my wife. He said, we were walking down, you know, and I had to preach a revival, and we had some time that afternoon. And he said, I don't like to walk with my wife. And he said, this is why. He said, every time we take a walk, she starts telling me about all the stuff in my life that needs to be fixed. All the little problems I've got, all the shortcomings that I've got. He said, you know, let's stay off of my stuff and get on your stuff because we got years worth of work to do on you. And that's the way most of us like for it to be, right? We can say amen till it comes right here. You know what Jesus is saying? He said, every one of you is guilty, and without me coming and taking the penalty for your sin, you would be doomed. That's why he said, I come to fulfill the law, because you cannot fulfill it in yourself. That's why I came. But they missed it. They didn't understand what he was trying to say to them. You see, there are things in all of our lives that the truth is we don't want to talk about. And I want you to put yourself, if you could, in this woman's shoes for just a minute. They bring her. There is absolutely no doubt that she's guilty. And they look at him and they say, Moses and the law says. Well, here's what Moses and the law says. In Leviticus chapter 20 and verse number 10. Says, the man that committeth adultery with another man's wife, even he that committeth adultery with his neighbor's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. That's the law. Now, when I read that, and you know, there's a, folks, I want to tell you something. There's a verse in here about rebellious children. There's a lot in the law that if we had to live up to the law, none of us would make it. None of us would be able to stand. None of us are worthy. Nobody. And when this woman is thrown down at Jesus' feet, the things, and this is what I want us to see with the shame, the secrets are told. Everybody knows. Everybody is looking. Everybody is talking. You see, a lot of times we come in here on Sunday, and I've done this myself. I go down to the altar, and I got things. And I said this, God called me to preach when I was in the ninth grade, but I want to tell you, I wore the altar out for years. And I got tired. I got to the point, I didn't care whether people thought I was lost or not. I needed to get me in the place that I needed to be with God. I went to the altar every time I went to church. But there were secrets. Nobody knew what I was praying about. Nobody knew what was on my heart. Nobody knew what I was dealing with. But what about when secrets are revealed? You see, when secrets are revealed like this woman, I could just imagine her there at the feet of Jesus. She just had something draped over her, and her head was dropped in shame, probably as low as she could get it, feeling at any minute that her life could be taken by a stone hitting her. And she's at the feet of Jesus, and she's broken. Because there are some things in every person's life, the truth is, we'd never want them revealed. Kind of like I mentioned before, these screens up here behind me, I would never want the secrets of my life played on these screens. I never want the thoughts that are impure before God played on these screens. I never want the things that I've done that I said I would never do. Or even sometimes when I would go down to the altar and pray, and I've done this, God, if you'll just forgive me, I promise I'll never do it again. And I've done that so many times, I don't do it anymore. I just come to him because I know that he loves me. And just like it says in the book of Psalms 103, he remembereth our frame, he knoweth that we are dust. He is merciful and gracious, and he cares enough for us that he's just, and I love that verse where it says, as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pities them that fear him. Now here's Jesus, the same one that said there's not going to be one jot or one tittle passed from the law. And he said, I won't tell you how serious it is. You just look on them and lust and you're sinning. He said, you just hate somebody and you're guilty of murder. And all he does is he stoops down and with his finger he starts to write. Now folks, I'm going to be honest with you. There's some things that happen in church that I pray about, just little things that stress me out. I just does. You know why? Because I want everything to go just right. I don't want anybody to be offended. I want there to be unity. I want there to be peace. I want people to get saved. I want people to come back. And one thing that I believe in the house of God is there are no acceptable casualties. God has a place for everybody. Amen. But here we see Jesus, and it looks like it's just all to pieces. And he stoops down and he starts doodling. Because he's not worried about a thing. He's got their number. See, because he's all-knowing. And here's what I want you to understand about an all-knowing God. He knew who she was, but he knew who they were. And here's something to understand about an all-knowing God. Is he already knows everything there is about you, but he loves you anyway. That is tremendous. And here's this woman at his feet. He's all-caring. He cares. Have we forgotten how much God has loved us? When I look at this and I look at this story, it's obvious that those who brought this woman and threw her down at Jesus' feet had forgotten some things. You see, the Bible teaches plainly, and it's in the book of James in the 5th chapter, if you're guilty of one sin, you're guilty of all. See, where we get in trouble is we think, well, I'm not like that one over there. I'm not like that one over there. Where did you come from? Such were some of you, but you're washed, you're sanctified, you're glorified. Now, he's all knowing, he's all caring. He's all correcting. See, God gives perfect counsel. Now, I don't know about you, but I've had God get a hold of me and he knows what to do. Sometimes I've seen people get way out of God's will, especially preachers, okay? I can't stand to see preachers that get out there and start mistreating people. Can't stand it. But there's been times in my life that literally God's had to remind me, I got their number. Can I tell you nobody gets away with anything? God had their number. What did he say? He said, he that is without sin among you. If you want to keep that law, if you want Leviticus 20 and 10 to be kept, the one that's without sin, let him be the first. Now, I can just about imagine that a lot of them already had their stones in their hand. A lot of times that's the problem. That's the problem amongst people in the house of God. We're walking around with a stone in our hand and we've forgotten what God has done in our lives. But when he spoke to them, because never a man spake like this man. Could you imagine hearing Jesus Christ preach? The power that would be present in him. I love to be feeling the power of God. But every time he spoke, it was the ultimate power of God. They were convicted, the scripture says, from the eldest to the least. And they dropped their rocks and they walked away. But here's what radically changed is. A lot of people say, well, I don't need forgiveness. A lot of people do. We all need forgiveness. But when you get forgiveness, here's what forgiveness did. Literally, it gave her her life back. Because if you study and understand the law, they were going to stone her. But the stones were dropped. Her sins were covered. In James chapter 5 and verse number 20, I want to read a verse of scripture to you. It's very important for us to understand what this scripture means and what our responsibility is as Christians. James chapter 5 and beginning in verse 19, it says, "Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth, and one convert him or restore him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins." There's a story in the Old Testament about Lot and his three sons. And, you know, Lot was God's man. Not Lot, excuse me. Noah was God's man. Noah and his three sons. Noah built the ark and he went up and he planted a vineyard after that, you know, the flood had passed. But there was a problem. This man of God sinned. Bible says he planted a vineyard. He made wine from the vineyard. He drank it and he went in and he lay in his tent naked. And he had three sons, and one of them went in. His name was Ham, and he looked at him. And the scripture says he looked, and he told his brothers without. But if you look at the words, the Hebrew words, it's reah and nagad, and this is what it is. It means he looked with pleasure, and he told with delight. It's like this. He went in, saw their sin, and he went out and he laughed, and he said, "Ha, that old preacher that preached to us, y'all ought to go in and look at him right now." But the brothers understood the concept that's written here in James chapter 5, verse 19 and 20, because the scripture says that they took a blanket and they put it across their arms and they walked backwards and laid it across their father, not to discover his nakedness, out of respect for him, because they knew that God knew how to deal with him. God knows how to deal with all of us. They dropped and they went away, but she received her life back. But she said, Jesus said to her, "Where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee?" And she said, "No man, Lord." But here's what he said. He said he came not to destroy, but to fulfill. Here is the fulfillment. Only Jesus can forgive sins. He said, "Neither do I condemn thee, go and sin no more." God has a greater plan for your life. See, I believe when a person gets saved by the grace of God and they get restored, that's radical change when you recognize what the forgiveness of the Lord is. When a person understands how great forgiveness is and they receive it for God, folks, that's radical. And if you've received that, you know what my goal is? I want to see other people receive it. I want to be able to come in here on Sunday morning and preach and people get saved by the grace of God and understand that they can have victory and they can live in this life for the Lord because God loves them. And he cares for them and he has a plan for their life. I'm going to ask you if you would, if y'all would play that video. This is something that was on my heart when I was studying this. We're going to play this video tonight. Anything on your heart you'd like to pray, if God spoke to you, this is your opportunity tonight.
Knocks me down again. I'm reminded of the wrong that I have said and done, and that devil just won't let me forget. In this life, I know. I wrestle with my pain, wrestle with my pride. Sometimes I feel alone and I cry. And in this life, I know what I've been. But here in your arms, I know what I am. I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven. And I don't ever carry the weight of the wrong things. I'm forgiven. When I don't fit in and I don't feel like I belong anywhere, when I don't measure up to much in this life, oh, I'm a treasure in the arms of Christ.
Radically changed. Doesn't the scripture say old things are passed away and all things are become new?